Lions fans. It's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast. Your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection. And now, two guys who run a 4-minute 40. Chris and Case.
Hey, howdy-ho, Lions fans. Welcome to the Detroit Lions Podcast. This is episode 333. This is the official Detroit Lions Podcast for Reddit. I am your slightly sunburned host, Chris. And with me is the effervescent and always super studly Jeff the Riz Rizden. How you doing, brother?
I am not as red as you, and I'm grateful for that.
I am not in the least bit embarrassed. I should be, but I'm not, okay?
It was nice here in Michigan today. It was like 68. I actually took a nice long walk today, but as you can tell, I'm still very pasty. The sun just doesn't have the warming powers yet.
Oh, it does. It's still there. It was like 80 today. Yeah, down here. This is beautiful. Oh, sat outside and had lunch with a colleague. Had a cigar. It was nice. It was a nice, relaxing day.
That is nice.
As things come to a close in some places and before they come to open in others, you get little moments like that. They're fun to cherish. All right. Got a lot to talk about in today's show. We've got the franchise tag coming up. We've got the salary cap. We're under it because you wear a cap up on top. The cap's on top and we're under it. Got free agency, the draft, got some Q&A from Twitter, hashtag kneecaps. That's going to be ours from now on. If you got questions for the show, you guys got it. Hashtag kneecaps. Get in there. We'll get it on the show. We got all that stuff coming up and a whole lot more. Riz, are you ready to go, my man?
Oh, let's do it.
Let's kick this off and break it down.
All right. Let's get right into it. Let's do this. I'm going to start off right off with the tag. We got folks talking about the tag in the chat on the YouTube here. So let's get right in there. Lions did not tag Romeo Okwara. And that's, we'll go hashtag kneecaps right off the top. We got a question out of that situation from Big Biting Pig. With such a premium on pass rushers, is he as good as gone? Also, why don't more? Well, we'll get to the second part of that question in a second. Is Okwara as good as gone? Is there a chance we sign him? That's also from Shuli. I don't know. I'm doing it in German. Oh, it's I. Shuli 54. There you go. In the chat, everyone wants to know: are we going to be able to hang on to Romeo since we didn't tag him? He's gonna be a well-wanted man, isn't he?
He is. He's quietly one of the better pass rushers that's available, especially after a couple of guys got tagged. I don't think Leonard Williams expected to get tagged. He's off the market. You know, Shaq Barrett off the market effectively. The Lions can't afford him, and they're not in a position to get a guy like him right now. Anyways, there you go. But yeah, Romeo's going to have some courtship. So a lot of Browns fans have latched on and have been asking me, hey, what about this Okwara guy? You know, we don't really watch the Lions because they're boring, but tell me about him, because he got 10.5 sacks last year, and all you'd ever do is complain about the lack of pass rush. Like, okay, that's sort of a discongruous point, and they have a point there. But I like Romeo Okwara.
Isn't the draft super, super deep in pass rushers this year?
It's not top. It's not top end. Mm-hmm. Like there's no like
Romeo
top,
Okwara.
Probably not 15 guy, but there's a lot of guys that I like in day two and late day one. Right. Like in the 25 to 75 range. I'm actually stacking my big board. I will probably have 1, 2, 3, 4, 6 pass rushers in there. Most of them would fit with the Lions too. In terms of the defense that I expect Aaron Glenn to run, which is similar in base alignment to what we have just seen, but a lot more aggressive and a lot more asking your jack backer, they don't call it that, but that position to be more like what Devon Kennard was rather than what I'm blanking on his name now. Doesn't matter. back to a more aggressive thing. The way that Trey Hendrickson plays in New Orleans, and the way that Whitney Mercilus plays in Houston,
right,
is not a guy who's currently on the roster. As long as the short of it, and there's a lot of guys that fit that. Now Okwara, if he comes back, he's going to get offers that are worth more money elsewhere. That's one of the things. The Lions, yes, they are under the cap. No, that doesn't mean they have money to spend. They do not have a great deal of money to spend, even with the new cap and with freeing up some money, which we'll talk about how they did that and how they will get more. Okwara is, I think that the estimate that I saw was $11 million a year. I think that's probably a little rich this offseason just because of the circumstance with the cap being lower and the amount of people that are available. So, you know, 2 years, 23, 22, 21 million. I'm not sure that the Lions want to really pay that for a guy who was really, really good in 2020. Go back to 2019. He wasn't generating pass. I believe he generated pressure on 14% of his pass rushers, which is very good.
Right.
I think the year before that, it was around 6.25, which is really bad. Which guy are you getting? You know,
let's take a look at it though. The thing, and I'm just a little knock on it, and it's not that I don't like him, right? But I'd like to kind of look at the picture. The core is a guy that was kind of quietly got to where he did last year. It was a contract year. Outside of a contract year, he hasn't done that. Is this indicative
of Collins?
Is this indicative of what we're going to see next year when it's not a contract year? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a definite worry because he did not play well in 2019. He does still miss a lot of tackles and misses a lot of opportunities to get the quarterback on the ground. He should have had 14 sacks last year. Right. He missed. It's great that he did what he did, and we know that he did that without getting any schematic help. He's winning those one-on-one by and large and did a very good job at that.
Yep.
They do not have a replacement for him.
Let me ask you this, just straight up. Is he going to get more in the open market than he would for the tag?
No, I doubt it.
Okay, so there is an opportunity to sign him if the money, if the numbers work out and the restructures work out. Right. But that's really the thing. If you were to say straight up, he's going to get more in the open market than he would get for the tag, there's no way he's coming back. That's how you answer that question.
Right. Yeah. And that's not true of Galladay. It is true of Okwara. I don't think the NFL values him that highly. I really don't.
Really? You think? Because I want to get to that, but I want to get to the second question from Big Biting Pig. If you got more in Okwara, we'll do that, and then we'll get to the second question. And we'll move on to Galladay. Anything? Right. Any more in Okwara?
No, I think he's a good player. I think he's a guy that you want as your number two. And if you're paying him to be your number one, you're probably going to be disappointed. And that would be the Lions paying him to be the number one.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't think, like if he goes to Cleveland, let's use him as an example. He's playing across from Myles Garrett. He's going to look really good for that for $10 million a year. Mm-hmm. If he's $10 million a year in Detroit playing across from Trey Flowers, who's a really, really good player, but not a guy who's a progenitor of pass rush.
Not Myles Garrett.
Yeah. It's not going to be the same. And I think he's a pretty bright dude. And I think even though his brother is on the team, and yes, that does hold some appeal. Mm-hmm. And I don't know their family dynamic well enough to comment on that, other than yes, it would be really cool to play with your brother. And hopefully they're both healthy. Hopefully Julian is healthy this year. Now, if Julian, see, there's the other edge of that knife. If Romeo gets paid that, it's keeping his brother off the field.
Right. Maybe. You know,
that's a weird situation, honestly. And I don't know how any of the new regime feels about it. He is a player who fits in the mold of a guy like Cam Jordan, who did great things in New Orleans. He is not that player, but he's of that ilk anyways. Right. And if he plays the way he did last year and continues that improvement arc, and I think he's still only 25 years old. I mean, there is still some upside there.
Yeah.
You could take that gamble. But I don't know if the Lions really want to do that. They might, mm-hmm. but I don't know that they do.
Yep. And we will find out if blood is thicker than dollars. That's where we'll go. All right. see what I did there. Also, the second question from Big Biting Pig. Why don't more football stadiums play Iron Maiden?
Thank you. Yes.
I think the Trooper would fly. They have a couple.
At the 2 minute warning, 2 minutes to midnight. There it fits. Yeah, Why not?
And I think there's cuts from the song you could play that would be wide enough appeal. Right. I don't think you're going to get, Run for the Hills or the Rhyme of the Ancient Mariner.
Probably not. No. Passchendaele probably out. But like the Trooper, that bass line as a highlight undercut. Yeah, I love that.
If we had a good number 66, you could hear Number of the Beast, right? I mean, I could see that. You wouldn't play the intro. That might scare some folks off. But anyway, no, I mean, you could use it. I think if Riz and I were the stadium DJs, it would be a different mix of people there probably. Than there are today for the music.
Not sure people would appreciate it so much.
That might be. We were just talking about that before the show.
We were. So I went to a high school girls basketball game last night, and I heard more Drake than I've ever heard in my life before. And something called Dua Lipa. I don't. My daughter knew what it was. She hates it, by the way. My daughter's a rocker. I love it. The contemporary pop music is. It's not getting it done for people our age, Chris.
No. Riz and I, we have a big overlap of music, but we kind of came to the conclusion Riz is more of the very musically astute and aesthetic kind of thing, where I'm more of the raw power kind of thing. So I was more of like the punk rock kind of look. If you play your own instruments and scream, right? I don't care. But if it's got a good powerful sense to it. Rise Above by Black Flag. Great song, right? Where if you go back to where Riz is and you start thinking of some of the
I was really into Deep Purple when I was a kid. That, prog rock, metal, Rush.
Exactly.
I'm a huge Dream Theater fan, massive Dream Theater fan. And prog metal is where I've been on that quite a bit lately. I found a band called, it just slipped my mind. I was just listening to them like right before we came on too. They're a Venezuelan prog death metal band. They're really, really good.
Right. Yeah. I sent that
music that nobody listens to, but me.
This is one I got when no one listens to it. I sent it to you. And this is where we started find out where we diverged from each other in music. It was a band called The Exploited. And I stage dived up there, crowd surfed my way up, got up, grabbed the lead singer. There was a short somewhere. I don't know if it was Mike or what, but I screamed. The security started coming out, and it was like, woo, back into the crowd. And off we went. It was a good night. But anyway, okay.
Fun.
Move on. Thanks to the Iron
back
Maiden
to football.
Digression.
Yes. More Maiden is always good. Iron's up, baby.
Yeah. Kenny Galladay in the franchise tag that never happened. That's the new children's book on sale now. Now, I will say... We did expect that right off the top, right? I mean, we predicted that he wasn't going to get tagged by this organization.
So, yeah, that was my initial thought. And then I got talked into, they will because they don't want to give up the asset and they can get something for him in a trade. And all those people were lying to me. They were wrong. I should have stuck to my instincts on it because I did flip on that. I really did.
You did this last year in the draft, too. Who was it? So they convinced you that he wasn't the pick. God darn it. You should learn. I've learned for you. You have to learn, Riz. Don't listen to them.
I need to trust what I hear and what I see and what I feel. I am doing that in the draft this year, by the way. I have not looked at many other people's rankings. I've looked at them just to like, okay, do I need to look at this player? If a player is number 20 on somebody else's board, I got to watch them, even if I wind up putting them at 200. I'm much more into my own evaluations this year than anything else, and I'm woefully behind where I'd like to be, but at the same time it's much more my own impression this year. And I'll give you one. I like Greg Newsom a lot, the cornerback from Northwestern who blazed yesterday. He might be the best corner in this draft. He's certainly better than the two guys who are often touted ahead of him in this class.
Interesting.
Not that the Lions are in the market for a first round cornerback. They do need another. They need one. They need specifically need a slot cornerback.
A Justin Coleman replacement?
Probably. let's hope so. Foreshadowing.
But the thing about Coleman was he was terrible last year. And this is something that's going to be an ongoing question for so many of these guys. Was it the defense? Was it the Patricia world that made them bad? Because Coleman was pretty good slot corner.
He was very good in Seattle.
Progressively got worse in Detroit. Was that age? Was that him? Or was that something else? And that's what I think is the absolute worst effect of what we got is we've got a lot of players that are going to be extremely difficult to evaluate based on the film they have because of
because how much of it was them following the orders of a guy who didn't know what he was doing, and how much of it is a relative lack of talent compared to the rest of the league. I tend to err on the former, but I know I'm going to err too hard on that. And there are going to be some guys who I'll admit I'm excited about Jamie Collins. I think people are sleeping on him. Now, I'm probably going to go way too far in the other direction and hype him up too much and be like, oh, and people will be like, what the hell are you talking about back in March, dude? He still sucks. And that could very well happen.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give some players the benefit of the doubt. He's one of them who gets it. Trey Flowers is another one who gets it. Tracy Walker's another one who gets it. Not a lot of other ones. Christian Jones would have been one, but they cut him. And I don't mind that they cut him. He needed to go.
Yeah. Yeah. That was a good cut. And that's not a guy I'm concerned might bounce back.
No, no. I've had a long running infatuation with Christian Jones. He was in my top 20 overall players in his draft coming out of Florida State. I loved him. I learned the lesson. If a guy doesn't have a set position, you don't take him because he doesn't have a set position.
That's right. All right. This leads into a question from Magic Messiah, hashtag kneecaps, as we do for all our questions every week now. And this is a good one.
All right.
How will they handle free agency spending while trying to assure a comp pick for Galladay next year? All right. Ooh. And I want to talk about comp picks really quick. Kyle Mikey had a great tweet that is something that I think everybody should think about. All
right. I haven't seen it. Let me pull up the old Twitter here.
I'll tell you right now.
Okay. Read it for me.
There's been 165 comp picks handed out over the last 5 years, and none of them went to Detroit.
Yeah. So I do know that the last comp pick that they got, they used on Jimmy Landis.
So they were putting time out for comp picks.
So why is that? There's method behind it. It's because this team, and on Bob Quinn specifically, was very aggressive in free agency and addressing needs. They believed in using free agency to build the team. They didn't build as much through the draft. They did do some of that, but if they saw a free agent that they thought could be a long-term core piece, they didn't hesitate to go sign him.
Can I say something controversial?
Yeah.
Because I'm reacting to what you said about using free agency to build the team.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia used free agency to protect themselves, meaning to put acolytes in the locker room to protect their longevity rather than actually build the team.
I agree with that. Okay. Yeah.
So
yeah, that's why you're getting guys in who like Daron Harmon's a great example of that. That's a guy who they valued a lot more than the rest of the league did.
Yep.
And they signed him to more money than anybody expected him to get to come. He was okay. He's not worth keeping.
No.
But if you look, so the comp pick, and I think most people know this, but we'll go over it as a refresher because there are people who don't. And I got in fights with them today on Twitter. And one of them, and I forget who you were, dude, but you made a very good point to me. And I was like, dude, you got me. I can't argue it. You get comp picks, not just if Kenny Galladay leaves, that all you also then cannot spend money on new free agents to replace him that wipes out the same value. If you are a net spender in free agency, you never get a comp pick. That's one of the reasons why the Cleveland Browns never get comp picks. They've only had 14 since 1994. That's the second lowest in the league. New Orleans is the lowest with 12. I did do that math and look that up. Because you're paying more money to bring free agents in than the free agents that you are letting go to other teams get signed for with their other teams. Now, the last time that the Lions got comp picks, one of them was from Ndamukong Suh, and they wound up getting the number one comp pick in that draft. They turned that into Graham Glasgow. Mm-hmm. The other one, and I don't remember who it was that left, but that netted them Jimmy Landis.
Glasgow into Scott Warheit's ulcer. Poor guy.
Oh, Scott.
I love Scott. I absolutely love Scott.
I do too.
But I mean, sometimes his reactions are
he's got his point. Mountains, baby. Yeah. Oh, God, that one. Should be a molehill, but it goes into a mountain. We all do that, buddy.
I felt bad for him.
Yeah. Let's say Kenny Galladay signs for 3 years and $60 million with the New York Giants. Just hypothetical.
Okay.
That means if the Lions sign John Johnson for 3 years and $60 million, no comp pick, complete net. you've erased the value that you would get for the compensatory formula. I can talk for Galladay because you've signed somebody to come in. So the question you have to ask yourself, would you rather have a comp pick, let's say the number 105 pick in the draft, or would you rather sign John Johnson for 3 years? That's the question you have to ask. I personally would never want to get a comp pick. I hate comp picks. I don't want my teams to have them. It means that they have let more talent go than they've brought in.
Yep.
It means that they are not being aggressive enough in free agency for my liking.
Yep.
Now, the person that clapped back at me on Twitter today and that I couldn't refute was, well, when they get aggressive and sign guys like Big V and Jesse James and Nick Williams, what's the difference? And I'm like, I can't argue that, man. You got me there. I would still rather have a proven veteran like John Johnson or let's say Josh Reynolds. He's not going to get that kind of money, yep. But let's say you can use the money that Galladay is paid and instead turn around and sign Josh Reynolds and Gerald Everett from the Rams, both pass catchers. Both those guys would be upgrades over where they're at right now. You can use that money on that. That would wipe out any comp pick for Galladay. Would you rather have those two players for the next 3 years, or would you rather have the 101st pick in the 2022 draft? That's the calculus you have to do in your head for a comp pick.
Yep.
I'm taking the players. Sorry.
And when you talk about the guy who clapped back at you and talking about Big V and that.
And he was right.
Yeah, but the problem is you can't fix stupid, right? And you can't play like you're an idiot in the front office. I mean, we had to, right? If you're going to mock the Lions the last 3 years, 4 years. But you should never, ever mock any team like that because it shouldn't be that bad. I mean, that's the bottom line there. So
just, make more prudent decisions in free agency. Let's hope that specifically Ray Agnew and John Dorsey, who I think are going to handle much more of the pro personnel side while Brad Holmes focuses on the draft. That's my opinion. I don't know. That's just my take on it.
You don't have someone inside the building?
I do. One of them just left. I'm going to miss that one. I will trust them to get free agents to bring in. I don't want a team built around third and fourth round draft picks. If you want to look at the New England Patriots, why are they bad now? Mm-hmm. Because they have let guys go and they haven't replaced them because they're middle round picks. Well, even their top picks. I mean, they're shopping N'Keal Harry right now. This was the first round pick a couple of years ago. He might not make their team next year. They've had some bad drafting there. I would much rather, especially with a new regime, take the chance on proven talent. That's me. That's how I would build the team. If I were a GM, I would never have a comp pick. It would never be in my vocabulary to even try for one. Mm-hmm. Now, I'll play devil's advocate for a second. This is the 1 year where it would make sense for the Lions because we don't know nobody should expect them to be good this year. And you can let Galladay go and you can replace him. Now they did sign Tyrell Williams. He doesn't factor in because he was cut. That's different. That doesn't factor into the formula. But if they want to go El Cheapo this year and just see if they can get some guys who are low budget guys who can stick.
Like rookies?
Like rookies or guys who get cut, you know, N'Keal Harry as an example, a guy who's been awful for New England, has 2 years in the league though, and maybe he clicks with you. Maybe he'll like Jared Goff better than he like Cam Newton. I don't know.
So this is the big wrestling match here, and before I get into it, I want to go back to what JC Superstar said because when we're talking about Harmon. He said Harmon also got the playing time over Walker, which likely negatively affected Walker, which is 100% true.
Walker's
growth was stunted. And Matt Patricia.
Walker, although to the other point, though, Walker didn't play well enough to earn more of that either. And I'm taking the L on that last year. I'm still bullish on him. I think he's going to be a good starter next year and could be an impact starter. I'm not riding that bus out of town yet, but he's got to show me more than he did last year.
I think there's more schematically and coachingly that happened last year than talent wise for him. That's just my prediction. We'll see how that goes. Okay. So the thing that we talk about now with wide receivers, this is where it gets so fuzzy, right? Cause let's just say Kenny Galladay is gone.
Right.
Okay. And now you're staring at an empty wide receiver room down to Cephas, right?
So you got Tyrell Williams, maybe Geronimo Allison, and Cephas.
So they're all about the same. Williams is a little higher up the chain.
We presume they will draft one in their first three picks. I think that's a fairly safe assumption.
Yep. You don't have one or three. You don't have a one or two, right? Williams, if he's your number two, you're really stretching
Tyrell Williams would be an awesome number three.
Yep.
As your second outside receiver with a good slot, he's your Z. If you get an X and a Y with him, you're great.
I'd feel better with him as a number two with Matthew Stafford throwing the ball. Okay, because of how he can deliver the ball to a guy. But I don't feel that way with Jared Goff. Now, here's the thing, and here's the thing that's going to really mess with Lions fans. Say we get a wide receiver in the draft, and we've got our number three locked up, and we got our number four locked up, but we really don't have a number two, right? How can we really evaluate Jared Goff? And I'm going to do a blog on this week, you guys. I've had so much like real life work stuff showing up that's been killing me doing these vlogs. I'm going to get real free after this Friday. So for a good couple of weeks. So
I'm free.
I'll have a lot of them. But one of them is, one of the topics is, who wants to be the guy after the guy? Jared Goff coming in after Matthew Stafford. And now that's what the shoes you have to step into and have to be evaluated against, right? Okay, great. Well, at least he had Kenny Golladay and Marvin. Who? You got a massive gap. So now you've got a guy after the guy with no one to throw to. He is not going to get a fair shake this year. We'll start there. Now, and I won't even get into the draft where you pull in a rookie and you want to put him up there and sit behind somebody. He's not going to learn too much from somebody who has no one to throw to. He's not going to grow a whole lot who doesn't see an offense on the field.
You're creating the New York Jets is what you're doing. You're getting Sam Darnold in there, and then his best weapon is a 5'7" slot receiver.
Exactly. We need wide receivers, and we need wide receivers badly. We're going to need two. I'm just thinking
you need a slot, and you need a do-it-all guy.
Yeah. And one of them can be the draft. Maybe two of them can be the draft, but you can't guarantee you're going to hit two of them. You're going to have to pick one up in free agency. You're going to have to pick someone else up. And I don't know who that is, Riz. Can you talk me off the wall?
There's options out there.
Okay.
And there's going to be more because there are guys getting cut. As I was scrolling Twitter just a few minutes ago, I just saw that Kevin Zeitler got cut. That's a really, really good right guard. He's a hell of a lot better than Big V. He's not coming to Detroit. That's just not in the cards, but there are going to be guys. We saw Emmanuel Sanders get cut today. There's a lot of Lions fans that want him. He's a 33-year-old oft-injured slot receiver. Pass.
Yep. What about
that's the guy you get if you haven't found anybody by the end of August and he's still on the market. Like, hey, dude, come here. We'll pay you the vet minimum plus $500,000 signing bonus. We'll get through the year and then we'll have a friendly divorce at the end. Yep. That's the only way Emmanuel Sanders or really anybody over about 30 is coming to Detroit at any position. I do not expect any other than like 1 year deals.
Yep.
They're not signing.
These guys aren't part of the rebuild.
They're not signing a 31-year-old guy. They're just not.
No. What about John Brown from the Bills? He was cut. Any thoughts?
Mega speed.
The chat, that question, JC Superstar.
He can definitely play. He is limited. He really only runs deep routes. To his credit, Buffalo worked him in better, but he got beat out last year by a guy named Gabe Davis. Who was, I think, a fourth-round rookie out of UCF, third or fourth round.
Yep.
And Davis just outplayed him. So you're looking at a guy who's limited. But, yes, that is the kind of guy that you might be looking for, a veteran reclamation project, a guy who offers you something. He's one of the fastest guys I've ever seen in person. He ran down at the Shrine game. They did little foot races and like, dude, whoa, he gone. He can fly.
That's something.
His hands are a little iffy, but I mean, that's one of the reasons why he's available. If he was a perfect receiver, he wouldn't be on the market.
Yeah.
He's worth a look. I got to think he's probably 27, 28 years old in that range. Yeah. He's worth a tire kick.
And if you see receivers start to get better hands in Detroit than they had when when Stafford was here. I'm just pushing.
We're not opening that door, Chris.
Okay.
Not today.
Okay. All right. Let's move on to the salary cap. Salary cap was named today, $182.5 million. It's like pocket change to Riz. With the Jamie Collins restructure, we can talk about that as well here. That gets us under the salary cap. And I just wanted to say that there's a lot more ammo for the team in the salary cap space. And I'm going to tell you, there's a video I did, one of the vlogs, and it's absolutely fabulous. It's Stafford and Goff trade destroyed the salary cap. It was on February 5th. Go on our channel and check it out on youtube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. It's good not just to understand who could be cut and who we could play with and how we could create $50 million this year, but it's also great to help you understand how the cap works, because a lot of people were talking silly stuff, and a lot of people who are perceived as smart people still talk silly stuff about the cap. And I think this is something that I think the Lions have more wiggle room than people generally realize right now. And I think there's a general gestalt out there, except the Saints. I think there's a general gestalt out there.
How did they tag Marcus Williams? I don't get that.
I don't know. I'll just tell you the one thing from the video that you will walk away knowing: the salary cap is a social construct. There you go. There's all kinds of space and things we can do. The gestalt with fans right now is, oh my God, the salary cap, we can't do anything. Don't buy the hype. There's all kinds of room. The Lions can do just about anything they want if they want to, but they have to want to. And there's always forward problems, right? There's forward problems with that that you have to evaluate for. And again, you can continue to work. But you remember how bad it was perceived to be when Martin Mayhew left, how the cap was just on fire. And within a year, everyone thought, wow, Bob Quinn fixed it. And then when he left, oh, it's terrible again. It's a social construct. Don't worry about it. Okay, there you go. Let's talk about the cap. Let's talk about what Jamie Collins' restructure was, what that means for the team, and then some other stuff we can do along the way to get underneath.
Who we can whack.
Yeah. Yes. I would use a different term, but when I say whack, I mean it.
Who can we whack off? That's better. Right?
All right. Jamie Collins, Riz, let us go. Let's go right into it. If I can't talk about Stafford's throws, you can't talk about whacking off on this show. Come on.
That's fair.
I actually got to write the time down. That's going to be a
oh, crap. Damn it.
It's going to be a drop.
You've had enough of that shit.
Oh, man. Okay, go ahead, man.
All right. So Jamie Collins took a restructure. He signed. They basically converted his salary to a signing bonus. They added three voidable years on the end. So they're amortizing the new bonus over those extra years. He will not play those years. Don't worry about that. He will be done. His contract will be done after 2022. They just did it so they can space out the cap hit. This is exactly what the Tampa Bay Buccaneers did with Levante David. They signed him to a two-year contract that's written on paper for 5 years. So they spread the bonus out so they can get him his money. Collins is still getting his money. He didn't take a pay cut. It's just a conversion of paperwork.
So when I give somebody a $10 million bonus on a five-year contract, okay, they get $10 million this year. How does that work on the salary cap, though?
Well, you can structure it such that you can pay the bonus all at once. In this case, they spread it out over the life of the contract.
So it could be $2 million a year.
Right.
Would be the
hit. They didn't do it exactly that way. I think the first year of the voidables is like 2.6, I want to say. So it doesn't work exactly. And the long and short of it is that, yes, that it is averaging $2 million per year. They're going to eat that in dead cap in 2023, 2024, and 2025. But remember, the cap's going up by then. They can afford to eat $2 million and a lot better than they can afford to eat 20 this year.
So let's really talk about that really quick, because I want to make sure people understand that, right? So if they cut him after 2 years and they amortized it $2 million a year, right?
Right.
They've got $6 million in dead cap spread out over 3 years.
Yes.
And so that's just money that they cannot spend in those years, but they could structure other contracts differently. So if you have a 1 year dead cap hit of $10 million, that just means you can't spend that $10 million next year. But all of a sudden the next year,
correct,
you've got $10 million more freed up.
Right.
That's so, a whole new player available.
Yeah, so they it was $8 million this year, just under $8 million. It was $7.925. I have the contract in front of me here now. Mm-hmm. They converted it into a salary bonus and signing bonus. It freed up, because you do have to pay some of that this year. You can't move it all. You can't defer the entire bonus. They freed up $6.34 million in cap space this year because of that. Now, again, they're not going shopping with that. They needed that to get under the cap. The cap wound up being a little bit higher than expected, which sort of helped them out there. But this was a maneuver that they did. Remember, they're in cap problems, not because of Jamie Collins. We'll throw Bob Quinn a bone here. Quinn actually left them in pretty good salary cap shape. One thing you have to give him credit for, until the last year, they didn't really make bad free agent signings. Last year being a bad exception for that with a couple of contracts, but. You know, every team's going to miss on a guy like Jesse James. You're going to have one or two every year. Sylvester Williams, another one. Mm-hmm. Where okay, it just didn't work. That's life in the NFL. You're not going to bat 1,000. But by and large, they didn't have any real god awful poison pill contracts until you got to Big V.
Yeah.
And that one hurts.
Just because there's no value. But let's be fair. Look, he was injured. He was injured all last year. It was at damn hill. Right. We'll see what we got. I don't think you can evaluate Big V on last year. Okay.
He may be
no better. He may actually be no better, but I think last year is not a fair evaluation of his ability and talent. I think he's going to be somewhere between what we wanted him to be and where he was last year. But because the one thing that on the other side of the argument, Big V couldn't be a starter in what, 3 years, in 4 years in Philadelphia behind a not great line, right? He never became
any kind of was their number starter. Six lineman. He played both guard and tackle. When they had injuries, he started. I won't say that he was great, but he wasn't bad. He was perfectly acceptable.
Yeah.
They paid him, I don't want to say elite starter money, but he's one of the higher paid guards in the league. He's certainly paid above the league average in guards.
They paid an acceptable player unacceptable money.
Yes. And I'm hopeful that he will wind up being the answer at right guard this year. I am. He deserves the shot at it.
Absolutely. And when you put the rest of the line in place, because we have a overall, if you take the talent of the line, even with Big V on the right side there, you've got a definitely above average offensive line on this team. You've got a good,
especially the way it's kind of shaken out around. This is a top five potential offensive line.
Yep.
It's certainly top 10, no lower than that. I think you see what happens with Dallas. If they get everybody healthy back, I think Washington's is pretty darn good. If they're healthy and back, I mean, they just franchised Brandon Scherff again, which is insane. I wrote about that at Real GM. Please check that out. I did a 5 cents on the salary cap. It's got a piece on Galladay that's a little more. When I'm at Real GM, I don't necessarily have to play by the standards that USA Today holds me to for Lions Wire. So I'm free to do a little bit more of my own. And I wanted to comparing it to the Dukes of Hazzard season where Bo and Luke were sat out and Coy and Vance came in.
That's a great place, just for folks to know, if you like Riz's writing or his personality, to see his real personality in writing, GM is the place to go. I'm not down in Lions Wire at all, right? They do great Lions content, great stuff.
It's different.
Riz's personality on Real GM is awesome, and they are awesome how they support you with the Senior Bowl and Shrine Bowl and everything else, man. Real GM,
they've been very good to me. They have employed me since 2004.
Yeah,
the same place. That's almost impossible to find in this industry. I owe them a lot of credit.
It's great. Deserve your clicks, for real. Okay. Let me just go back to the salary cap piece, the explanation, because I think we've done a pretty good job of clearing some stuff up and for people. Again, go watch that vlog post. It'll all come to light. But I want to talk about, Logan asks about, what is this voidable years thing? Ghost years of guaranteed dead cap? Or what is voidable years in contract?
Right. So that's if you watch the NBA loves doing it. This is why the Pistons were still paying Josh Smith 15 years after he was gone. That's the we saw this with the Stafford trade and the Goff trade, and also the Carson Wentz trade. The NFL is moving much more towards the NBA in terms of how they view salaries how they view dead money, how they've, I got a fruit fly in here, driving me nuts. How they view the cap. It's just non-sequiturs in my life, man. It's everywhere. I'm not seeing things.
Duke's a hazard to fruit flies. You got it.
Yeah. Oh man. You don't want to step inside my brain, ladies and gentlemen. No, the NBA model is taking more shape into the NFL. That's good and it's bad. You're going to see teams that are more willing to make buyouts. The Pistons just bought out Blake Griffin. Thank God, by the way, he needed to go. I wish him well in New Jersey. I don't know how that's going to work, but you never know. But that's where the NFL is heading. Some of that is that there's a cross-pollination of agents between the NBA and the NFL much more than there used to be. Some of it is just the fact that they see that, hey, the NBA teams, they make this work. You know, they have a way to you know, just absorb that money. And the fans, they grumble a little bit. They're still coming. They're still watching. They're still buying jerseys. You know, they'll buy the jersey of the new guy that replaces the guy that we got rid of. You know, they've taken a very pragmatic view on that. And I think the NFL is taking some influence on that. And you've certainly seen the Lions take advantage of that because that's how they got Jared Goff. That's how they got rid of Matthew Stafford. You know, you know, 3 years ago, even the Carson Wentz trade, unthinkable. Philly's not, they're going to eat $35 million. Are you kidding me? No way. Now it's like, yeah, he's not our guy. We're moving on. You know, we're ripping the Band-Aid off. We're ripping our leg off with it.
Right, right.
You know, the NFL teams are much more willing to do that. And the creative caponomics that they do, one of the things they do is voidable years or long-term amortization of bonuses. Because the NFL, they love their signing bonuses. The agents love signing bonuses because it is straight cash for them.
Yep. Yeah.
that's what it's all about.
So in a nutshell, the voidable year is we'll go back to the 5-year contract and it was $2 million a year. And say there's 2 years left, there's $4 million on it. And they want to get some cap relief out of that. So they'll add two voidable years to the contract. And instead of then having $4 million over 2 years, it's $4 million over 4 years. So it's $1 million right. a year. And then they cut off the last 2 years as voidable because they just added them as voidable years and they amortized the money away more quickly and gave themselves space. So that's what the voidable year is. So gives them a lot more freedom. Everyone has to play along to make that all work. But you had guys like Tom Brady and Drew Brees had them as part of their deals. Brady's 2019 contract had voidable years at the end in 2020 and 2021. So
it's becoming much more common, and you're going to see a lot of it this year. Again, Levante David did it with the Bucks. That's the only way they could afford to keep him.
Yep.
So you're going to see a lot of especially veteran players, and this Kenny Golladay could wind up getting that.
And you get a team
that wants him, that can't pay him. Let's say I'll use the estimate that was thrown around in our work Slack today of 4 years and $75 million for Kenny Golladay. That's a big contract. That's a mm-hmm. big cap hit. Mm-hmm. But if you make it 4 years, $75 million, but then you also add three voidable years onto it, and exactly. that's where all that the $62 million signing bonus goes. You spread that out. Now more teams are in play.
But the risk is, okay, and this is why Drew Brees and Tom Brady got it. Those guys are playing for those 4 years, because if they're not, then you're in long-term pain. So there's a certain tier of player that's going to get a voidable year contract and where it makes sense. Because you start doing that with guys that are going to only play a year or that are injury prone, or Kenny Golladay, some of those guys, you're going to wind up with a big, long cap hit that is going to take forever to shake out. And while the cap is continuing to go up, you're digging yourself a hole along the way, and you don't get to grow with the rest of the league and the cap.
That's because exactly
you're
eating
that over long periods of time.
That is the things that happened to the Miami Dolphins under Nick Saban.
Yeah.
They loaded up on guys going for a run and it didn't work. That's one of the reasons why the San Francisco 49ers have fallen off. That's why DeForest Buckner's now in Indianapolis instead of San Francisco. Because they took too many damn defensive linemen in the first round. They took, 5 and 4 years?
Yeah.
But they also overpaid a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, and it cost them.
So I will tell you guys again that you need to see our vlog entry on Detroit Lions.
Please do.
YouTube.com/Detroit Lions Podcast. Stafford and Goff, trade destroyed the salary cap from February 5th. That will describe all of this and all the things, the ways they can rearrange the nuts on the board and get the guys that they need and lose the ones they don't and create all kinds of space. I create a scenario there where there's $50 million available for this team. So there you go. It's all doable and workable. And I think between what we talked about here and then that vlog, you guys will get a good idea of the cap and what it's working on. Riz, I got to do something really quick. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. When you do all this capology, your brain starts hurting. What do you need to
math?
Do? Oh, go to CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Use key code or coupon code. That's what they're called. Lions. Get 55% off for all your CBD needs. Pain, anxiety, insomnia, all that stuff well in hand, well taken care of with your friends from Diamond CBD and the CBD products they put together. Cream, the cream is great for sore muscles and pain. I'm just telling you right now, I've been gymming it a little bit here, the home gym, and between the bands and the dumbbells, I hurt a lot. You'll see me wince on the show every now and then, but I throw the cream on and it absolutely does work. I thought it was BS when I first heard of it, and it absolutely isn't. It's the real deal. The thing you got to know, if you use anything, if you just use the regular CBD stuff, you're going to be fine. You're not going to trip any drug tests. You're going to get all the relief, pain, anxiety, insomnia, all that stuff that you're asking for. That's good. If you're looking for the buzz, let's just straight up, if you're looking for a blow it out kind of indica buzz, get the chill line, the Delta 8 stuff, and that will trip a drug test, just so you know. So know your stuff. But it'll put you down and you will have the most chilled, relaxed couple of hours ever. Don't eat more than one the first time. I've got story after story after story of people that did that, and every week I get stories from guys in the Slack saying that it's the real deal. This Delta 8 is for real. CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Pain, anxiety, insomnia, and the Delta 8 line for a buzz. Coupon code Lions, 55% off. There we go. All right. Let's get into some more of the potential cuts on this Lions team.
Oh yeah, let's
cut. you're ready to whack. Let's get.
I'm singing Megadeth's Reckoning Day in my head.
All right.
Here comes the Reckoning Day.
Ready. Right.
I am going to give you the machete because I did it in the vlog. I'm going to let you go to town here and take care of this roster. Go to town, Riz.
All right. First guy I'm getting rid of, Chase Daniel. See ya. Get the hell out.
Superstar, future Hall of Fame, first ballot Hall of Famer for sure.
Saves $2.3 million. You're eating $3 million dead cap, which is kind of sad.
$3 million to spend next year, though.
That's right.
When you have a team, I've got to say this. When, I'm sorry. When you
and
have a team,
when the cap goes up.
Yes.
So,
here's
yes.
the thing about dead cap in the next year spending for a team like the Lions, right? I think everybody out there says the Lions are not going to win it next year. We all know that.
Fair.
Whether you call it a retool, a rebuild, whatever you want to call it, next
Restore.
Year is not the Lions' year. So if we have all kinds of dead cap, yawn, that just means that's money available to spend next year. And I will tell you something, you're going to hear this a lot from me as we go through this, the free agency and the draft and the offseason and the training camp and everything else. You will know if that rebuild is working by the end of your second year. And
yes.
if it's working, these guys who are going to be playing all this dead cap we're looking at right now to get players next year that are going to launch us into year three and build out the big chunk of what we got in year two. This next year is going to be an interesting year for the Lions. There's going to be a real feeling out period and a development of the character. I think it's going to be a hell of a lot more fun to watch, even if we get six wins. It's going to be a hell of a lot more fun than the six wins we got under Patricia. It's going to be a lot better football. But
I agree with that.
Don't worry about dead cap right now. That's just money we can spend next year on better, more players. Next year's free agency is going to be crazy.
Right, because you're going to see so many guys this year take one-year deals because teams can't afford to pay them multiple-year deals. Exactly. You want to be in the buyer's market, not the seller's market.
Yep. Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to get all over you, Riz.
I set you up to talk about it,
but we've been doing this cap thing. I wanted to give people, because that was the one last thing I think we didn't really cover for them, to really give them a grip of what things are and what the situation is. So go for it, man. Yes. I'll shut
And for the people who wonder who's going to be the backup? David Blau, he's better than Chase Daniel already. Mm-hmm. He's already in the house. Give him a shot anyways. Whether or not they draft another quarterback remains to be seen. You do Can't not need a 35-year-old backup quarterback making $5.5 million a year. No. Sorry.
No. And we will talk about the quarterback draft possibility here.
Yeah. All right. So who else am I killing? Whacking, executing, terminating from the Lions employment. Jesse James is an easy one.
Yeah. Oh God. Is
you're going to save $2.14 million there. Nick Williams, a guy who, just didn't pan out as hoped, was given a bigger contract than anybody expected last year. Turns out that's right. Yeah, that saves $4.7 million. That's crazy to me that he costs that much, quite honestly. Again, I was not against signing him. I thought I saw some things with the Bears. He played very well against Detroit. I thought this was the guy. Okay, if he's your number three interior defensive tackle, rotates in, he can be your NASCAR package, your rusher. Just didn't work. The way that they paid him was way too much for that role. So he's gone.
Yeah.
So just by doing that, I have freed up $9.2 million with those three guys.
Wow.
Again, do I want to spend that this year? Maybe. That's the difference between signing Brian Poole, who's a really good slot corner, who I like a lot, or signing, I'm trying to think who the top cornerback on the market would be, and I'm blanking on it, but that you get the point there.
Who else might cap carryover, or should I just shut up? I'll shut up.
No, cap carryover is, well, so the Lions did carry over money, more money than expected, too, which was great. I want to say it was like $17 million that they carried over. I don't know. I write too many things, so it all blurs together.
Yeah.
Yep. Right. Yeah. So who else is getting cut? I am not cutting Danny Shelton. I like him. I would ask him to restructure and add another year onto it to amortize that out. He's a great candidate for a restructure. He is your starting defensive tackle. There's only so many holes you can fill. He's a quality NFL player. Mm-hmm. He did not play well last year. He was also asked to do things that he should never be asked to do. In a much more simplified scheme, much more aggressive scheme, he's going to be better. Now, if you do want to whack him, you only save less than $1.5 million. I'm keeping him for that. So I get why he's a name, but I'm not getting rid of him.
Got it.
Who else can go? And Joe Dahl has a really weird contract. Now, they only save like $300,000 for cutting him. But are you going to pay a guy that you don't want to be your starting guard $3 million? I mean, that's...
Who do you want to be your starting guard in his place?
Jonah Jackson is one. I'm hoping the Big V is the other. If not, I can sign a street free agent who's roughly as good as Dahl as your backup that you hopefully never have to, you know, break in case of glass for $850,000.
Okay.
Maybe you find something. Maybe you get an undrafted free agent that you can develop into something. We tried that with Bo Benshawl. He was terrible. That's okay. It happens. But you're at least trying. I wouldn't get rid of Dahl right away. But I mean, that's a guy who people are going to look at and be like, oh yeah, we can get rid of him.
Yeah, there's opportunity there for sure.
Yeah, yeah. So he. Oh, I'm sorry. I read that wrong. He would save almost $3 million if you cut him. So I'm going to say he's going to go. There's not a lot of other people that earn a great deal. That I mean, Kerryon Johnson maybe, but then you've got to replace him. He only costs a little over $2 million. You're going to pay that much to replace him. Why not keep him in house and see if he can stay healthy and do it? And you tell me, Chris. 18 months ago, everybody's like, "Oh, this guy's the answer at running back, man. Yeah. This is our future." Are we really going to throw him out that quickly? I don't know. So if I get rid of Dahl, James, Williams, and Daniel, I have freed up just over $20 million in cap space. That's and those are easy cuts. Those are cuts that dare I say Bob Quinn might even make.
Yeah. Whoa.
Yeah.
All right.
So as for restructures, you can go to the bank of Jared Goff and try to get a restructure on that. I honestly don't know how to feel about that. I am not a
long-term guy.
I am not passionate either way on Jared Goff yet. I know that there's people taking their battle lines on it. I think he's going to be the starting quarterback for all of 2021, and they want to see what happens. I also think that they're smart enough to realize that he might not be the answer, and if they can get a guy that they think is a better answer than Goff, they're going to go get him this year. I don't know that's what they're going to do. That's what they're deciding. I tend to lean towards. So I'm conflicted on this. Jared Goff is in Detroit specifically because of Brad Holmes. Brad Holmes is the guy calling the shots here. But just knowing where the NFL is at, knowing what I know from Anthony Lynn being the offensive coordinator, from John Dorsey being aggressive in Cleveland, from some of the other guys that they've got on the staff now, Goff doesn't really fit going forward with where the NFL is going. And I want to think that they're smart enough to realize that, but I don't know.
We'll see.
I wouldn't touch his contract is where I'm at with that. And that's,
it tells you more than anything they've said or will say to the press.
Yes. Yes. And we are all struggling with that. And these are things that we talk about like behind the scenes for people who are in the building. They don't know yet. They truly don't know that they're creative flexibility. They're not married to Goff, but he's got a ring on.
Yeah.
is a good way to describe it. I think Scott Bischoff said that.
Let's put Goff. Let's talk about him more when we get about the quarterback talk in the draft, because I think that'll tie.
So the other big candidate for whacking is Justin Coleman. Again, we talked about it a little bit earlier. I'm giving him a shot to earn the starting slot corner, but he's got to take less money. He is not worth $11 million. Right. Restructure. I wouldn't cut him. I'd restructure him.
Okay. All right. So now I want to get to a question. Thank you, Panda, for the super chat. Really appreciate that. Hey, Riz, what position on the team do you think will be the worst unit? He's pretty certain it'll be the, or she, I'm sorry if it's a she, sorry, is pretty certain it'll be the defensive line.
I think Trey Flowers is a very good football player. I think that Danny Shelton can be not as good as Flowers, but I've seen him be a good starter on both good and bad teams. So I'm pretty confident he's going to bounce back. The defensive line and specifically the outside linebackers were the people that I think were most impacted, and the safeties were the people most in middle field defense, basically, was the people were most impacted by Patricia's scheme or lack thereof aggression. If you let those guys go out and play, I think they're going to be better. Now, do they have a lot of talent? They've got to get an alpha pass rusher. That is the number one need on the team. More than wide receiver, even. And unfortunately, there's just not one in the draft that's worthy of number seven, which I'm sure we're going to talk about at length in the next few weeks as we get closer to the draft. Yeah, defensive line will not be good. I'm wide receiver is certainly a curious position. I'll humor Kent Platt here and say quarterback, because right now is Jared Goff. I think we've been spoiled by Matthew Stafford, and we want to believe in that the Jared Goff that we saw who took the Rams to the Super Bowl was there. There isn't anything close to the supporting cast right now in Detroit that he has. The line is fine, and maybe the running back situation. DeAndre Swift was a pleasant surprise for me. He was better than I thought he would be. Maybe that'll work out, but this...
Being the guy after the guy, like I said, upcoming vlog. And it's going to be hard because
that's why you don't want to be the guy who replaces Izzo at Michigan State. You don't want to be that guy. You want to be the guy after that.
You don't
want to be Ray Perkins following Bear Bryant at Alabama.
Yeah, there you go.
You want to be the guy after that. It was Bill Curry, wasn't it?
Yeah. So yeah, there's a deal. And I'm still bullish on Goff, to be honest with you. I think he has abilities that we haven't seen yet. I think because of the way McVay used him. And I think one of the things I learned the most from Matt Patricia was was to really understand how much of an impact the coaching staff and the scheme have on the players' ability themselves. We watched a whole side of the ball, both sides of the ball, play worse than they were strictly because of the staff in there. They can alter a player. I think a lot of the book that's been written about Jared Goff was pre-written It was a pre-write, like some of the draft articles that people are already working on. They are pre-written in hopes that that person gets drafted at a place where that would be a valuable article to drop. I'm just telling you right now.
People do that?
Yeah, they do. I'm not out on him yet. Now, just like you said, if he has no supporting cast, he will lose the fans very, very quickly. And I think that of all of the groups that have led this team, the people in the Lions building right now have a better finger on the pulse and will react more to the pulse of the fans than regimes we've seen for the past decade. So for right or wrong, Goff may not get the chance that he deserves and could live up to as a result of the surrounding cast. That's why I'm so big on, because he has to be the guy. Now, I'm gonna jump over free agency here. I'm gonna jump over it. If we're just gonna go straight to this, Holmes not ruling out a quarterback in the draft. We're going right to the draft. Sorry.
Yes.
I personally don't like the quarterbacks that are gonna fall to seven. I just don't. I don't have faith in them, especially okay. in the COVID year. Especially, guys that are division one guys. You know, I don't.
You're not a Trey Lance guy.
No. And he may be a good one. He may be a good one. But I think there's a reason we have two first rounders next year and two first rounders the year after. I really, really do believe that. I think that we are not going quarterback. If we do, I have a guy who's my preference, and we'll talk about that when we get to the questions, #kneecaps. But it's going to surprise you guys as well, because it's probably not no one that any of you think of. Holmes didn't rule out a quarterback this year.
Mac Jones, I'm going to smack you.
Nope. Deeper. This Ooh. Class is, for me, and I know there's a lot of wide receivers, but we've got six picks this year. We need two wide receivers minimum. They both got a hit. We need all kinds of defensive players. We need defensive line, linebacker, sorry, Riz. We need safeties.
We need
a slot corner. We don't have the ability to do a lot of shopping in free agency, and we really don't want to do a lot of shopping in free agency this year. I feel like the supporting cast is going to be the biggest thing we put in place this year, and especially with rookie wide receivers, to have a guy with a little bit of experience, like Goff, training him up and getting him up to speed and helping them become NFL wide receivers and work with an NFL caliber quarterback. I think that's the plan. Whether Goff is there next year or the year after, I don't know, but I don't think we're taking a quarterback in round one this year at all. There we go. Okay. Holmes didn't rule it out. There's a lot of smoke, I think, already starting. Riz, tell me I'm insane or why you think differently, or both.
I will not rule it out either. And I will say this. I don't think they're taking one at seven. I think they could be taking one at two or three. And that's where those draft picks in the future come in. Again, everybody in the building has been aggressively trading up for quarterbacks in the past. That's in their history. I'm a history major. I learned to study history because you can learn about people that way.
Yeah.
That's where my degree is. So I'm going to place some emphasis on that. They have told you from their past actions that if they see a quarterback that they like, they're going to go get him. They don't care about the cost. And by and large, it's worked out for them pretty well. Jared Goff happened to be one of them. He did get them to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. I think Patrick Mahomes has worked out pretty well for John Dorsey in Kansas City,
that's
right?
The rumor.
Seems like a good move. Mm-hmm. Seems like a good move. and by the way, they tried to get Deshaun Watson, too, the year before that. So pretty good eye for talent there. If they really like... And I'm going to say that I don't think they're Zach Wilson people. This is my own speculation, me talking. I think if they're going up for somebody, it's Justin Fields.
Mm-hmm.
I think he more fits the bill of what they're looking for. I also think that he's very appealing to me. He is my number two quarterback. I like him a lot. I actually like Lance more than I like Wilson. That's just me. I like the more I learn about him and the more that I've revisited what I watched of him. I think the fact that he's a little careful, and that's also true of Justin Fields. He's a guy that needs to let it rip more.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see him get rid of the ball in 2.1 seconds instead of 3.2 seconds. and take the easier throw sometimes, but take the quicker option. But also, you know, maybe somebody compared him to Jameis Winston, one of the anonymous scouts, like the Bob McGinn, who does a great job with those, but you have to take it with a grain of salt. When you're comparing Justin Fields to Jameis Winston, to me, they are the polar opposite mindsets. Yep. Jameis is going to throw it, whether it's going to go for 6 points one way or the other. Fields is going to be a lot more deliberate than that. And I think that's something that appeals to Holmes specifically, but I also think it appeals to Ray Agnew. I think it appeals to the offensive staff. That's Anthony Lynn. That's what he wanted in Justin Herbert. So I see Fields being much more like Herbert than what Wilson is. So I think that's if they're going to go for a quarterback and they're going to go up, that's where it would be. I don't think any of those guys at seven. And as Todd McShay proved last week, you can come up with plausible scenarios where all four are gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if they're taking Mac Jones at seven, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm out. I wouldn't take him at 77. I'm out at seven.
Yep. Yeah. No, 100%. I'm not a Mac Jones guy. I will tell you, and this is a question from Karen Lynn, #kneecaps. If the Lions take a quarterback, who is your preference? Now, you're going to laugh. You might laugh. My preference is Jamie Newman. Go ahead and laugh. I felt kind of good about him.
He's got some intrigue to him.
He's got, you know, big muscle guy, right? Crazy Jamie, big, fast, looks like he's mobile. He needs some work. You know, Goff is playing this year. You can put him behind him and work him for a year. That's a guy that I think you work and see.
You would prefer him over Trey Lance. Taking Jamie Newman with your with the Rams third round pick that you've acquired this year,
mm-hmm. because
you would take him there because that's about the range where he's going to go.
Third round. Yep. Okay. And the reason is because we cannot miss on another first round pick. We need a guy that can play. Hey, I got Trey Lance. Oh, cool. He's going to be on the bench for a year. What does that do for your team? Nothing.
Ask Aaron Rodgers how that works.
Yeah. and you know what? Ask every other drafted backup.
Ask the Dolphins how that went.
Yeah. Ask every other one how that went, right? Yeah. I would rather take a role in a guy like Jamie Newman who has that, and I think he fits the offense. He's mobile, right? The offense that I predict what we're going to have. He's more prototypical of a quarterback kind of makeup for that kind of a role and for the kind of quarterback in the NFL that runs around the NFL right now. I think he could do really well there. Is he going to be the guy? I don't know. I don't think so, but I want my first round and second round pick. Those are guys that are supposed to be playing right now and making a difference on the field right now. That's what I want out of the first and the second round pick. And so sorry guys about that. I know a lot of people are all high on the quarterbacks and stuff. I just think that the risk is way, way, way higher than the reward this year with what we know about these guys. From what we saw or didn't see. So you can tell me again, Chris, crazy.
There's nothing wrong with that. I would, if they do eschew the first round quarterback and they're going developmental, that's the right range to take someone. I would probably take Kellen Mond over Newman, mm-hmm. but I don't dislike Newman. No, I've seen a lot of the same things you have. I really, really wish he would have played last year.
And Mond looked good. We saw Mond and he looked, I think he actually looked a little better at the Senior Bowl than Newman did. I just feel like Newman
and he had
has just the higher ceiling. That's my thing. Yeah.
And with Mond, you're dealing with a guy that Jimbo Fisher is not a good football coach at Texas A&M.
Right.
And they were asking him to play out of scheme with guys who don't belong in the SEC as his receivers and as his protection. And I tend to think he's a guy that could be better in the NFL than he was in college. He's shown flashes. I put it in the Slack the other day, like 7 out of every 20 quarters he plays, he looks like a first round draft pick.
Yeah.
But the other 13, it's like, I don't know about that. I don't know if this guy can be a backup even.
Speaking of the Slack, I want to cut in with, go ahead, finish up. I'm sorry.
I'd be okay with either. And again, that third round Rams pick or your pick at the top of the fourth round, that's the right range to take that kind of guy.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Speaking of the chat, and I apologize for jumping on you early there, Riz, the most intelligent Lions chat on the internet. I want to tell you what came out of there about the number 7 pick. And this is why we call it the most intelligent. It's Ash again. Ash is so quotable and notable.
I love Ash.
All I want at number 7 is a great player. If it's Sewell, great. If it's Chase or Waddle, great. If it's Lawrence, Fields, or Wilson, great. If it's Farley, great. I could get behind others, but those are the seven that I think change the field more than any other guys in this draft. If they pick at seven and it's not one of those seven guys, I'll have a skeptical eyebrow raised. Again, most intelligent Lion chat on the internet. Not focused on one guy, one position. Flexibility. He's got his board kind of built out, right? Flexibility at position, depending on how things unfold in front of him. But also kind of as, from a fan's perspective, more like just get me a guy that's going to play and make a difference. And that's kind of where my head's at with the idea of Newman. I want a guy in number one and number two that's going to play. That is going to make a difference because
so Bob Quinn did a really good job at that, but they're playing tight end and center.
Yeah.
not exactly priority positions.
But they're great. We've got a great line and a great tight end.
Jared Davis was a first round. He played right away. He actually played, I don't want to say well as a rookie. He showed why he was a first round pick as a rookie. He never got better, which is unfortunate. By the way, there's a lot of talk that he will not be back despite Dan Campbell's things in him. And some of that is the fact that the league views him higher than what he does. And he just wants a fresh start. I've heard that from a couple of different places from people who would be in the position to know that. So don't expect him back. He's back, great. They're not that the Lions will certainly pursue him. Don't be surprised if he chooses to go elsewhere, even if the money's the same.
Yeah, that's a waste because I think a couple of things. One, Bob Quinn and Matt Patricia cost him a ton of money.
They absolutely did. And I don't. Unfair. If he wants to hold that against the Lions organization, even though the Lions organization has changed, I'm
okay with that.
Dude, you got to do what you got to do. You got to go get your money. That's why, like if Kenny Golladay goes and the offer is the same, he is in the position. I understand why he didn't want to sign a long-term deal last year because he thinks he's going to get more. This is his shot. Go get your money, dude. I'm never going to fault a player for going to get his money. As much as we carp about how we want guys to give back money, at the same time, they got to get it while they can.
Yeah,
because we're very quick to take it back. I just whacked four guys right off the roster without even thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing. And look, I want Jared Davis back because, again, I think he's a product of a crappy system and a crappy coach. And I think he could be a really good.
He's also a awesome, awesome human being.
Yeah, 100%. I think he'd be great in this team. Now, Jelani Tavai, on the other hand. Throw him up in the stands, give him a thing of sodas and beers, and I bet he's got the voice to carry. He can sell some Red Hots, and we'd be good to go. I don't need to see him back on the field. And if I see him on the field and not JD next year, we might just turn the lights out on this thing, man. We just might shut the switch because no. All right. So
he's got to earn it.
We got that question from David PJ. PW Crow, would you prefer what's available at seven or two late firsts? And he's thinking Jeremiah Owusu, Koromoa. We'll just say JOK.
Hey, you got it right, though.
I just had to do it slow. It's better than
Amani Oruwariye.
I was going to say Akuwariye for some reason. Oruwariye. I could say that. I know. And Terrace Marshall Jr. It's what he was thinking of later in the first.
LSU wide receiver.
Yeah. What do you think of that? Moving seven to take two late firsts if you can.
Okay. This is my philosophy that this doesn't necessarily reflect what the Lions will do. I like getting impact players. And you're going to get a better chance of getting an impact player at seven than you are at, let's say, 14 and 25. Mm-hmm. You're going to get a much higher ceiling end player. Now, the flip side of this, you're getting two for the price of one. But if you miss on one of them, then you've kind of lost it on the other one. I would stay at seven. I would prefer to trade up than down. That's just me. Mm-hmm. If there's a player that I really want, I want to go get him. I want to be aggressive and go getting him. I want top 10 picks. If you can move from 7 to 10 and get an extra second round pick, I'm all for that. That's fine.
Fair.
But I don't want to fall too far. I want to be in that top range of players. Yep. Because you get into the teens and then you're looking at guys that you know, some teams are going to value as like, oh, this goes top five on our board. And other teams are like, well, he was a third rounder for us. When you're picking at seven, you're getting a guy that's a damn well consensus first round pick.
I got Jelani Tavaia. He was a UDFA for us. That's that's the world we live in. I'm good with that.
Oh God, I did like Tavaia too.
He was a nice guy, man. I didn't like him where we got him, but he's a nice person.
Yeah,
got to talk to him. Yes. Taste of the Lions. He was a really cool dude. Just has some fun around town. I know some people have seen him, but just not a speed
just
guy.
Hasn't just he's not a today's NFL player.
Yeah,
he's just not.
God, he was right for the 1986 any team.
All oh right. My God, yeah.
Ooh, another question.
Bill Parcells would have lapped at him.
More. All right, don't forget to hit the like, guys, and hit subscribe while you're out there. We appreciate that, especially with the just deluge of vlog stuff that's coming. Ash is putting a bunch together. I've got a couple weeks now of time that I'm going to be really dropping stuff. Availability. It's going to be nuts. So get the subscribe in. Make sure you hit the bell so you know when our stuff is coming. From David PW Crow, also hashtag kneecaps. Also, the Silver Dorm roar always sounded like a toilet flushing. My friend, how do you know it wasn't the toilet flushing?
wasn't everything connected there?
the rush of the air out, right? I mean, what was it? I think it was episode 4 or 5 of the show when we started. Sandman came on. We were talking about the Silver Dome, and I was like, every time I walked out of there, it was like the best blow job ever. It was just crazy. The wind cut rushing out of that place. That was the same.
It was up on a bit of a promontory there, and you get that fresh air coming off the
across.
Down in
December. Do we like Pitts or no? Not as high as he's going to go is my answer. I like the idea of Pitts, but I don't like him even at number 7. If we waited, I don't like him because
I don't think he's going to be on the board. I don't think we need to worry about that. No. Honestly, I think he is the number 6 pick.
He's an interesting guy. He's going to go way higher than the value he brings to the team he goes to, even if he's
picked. I don't know about that.
Oh, I do.
If he were listed as a wide receiver, he's no worse than wide receiver 2 in this class. And I could make an argument, and I could show you on tape where he would be wide receiver 1 over Jamar Chase or Jalen Waddle.
Okay, let's do that offline. I'm interested in that because I don't buy that. And the one thing that I've seen in players, when you're both, you're neither. More often than not in the NFL, when you're two positions, you're neither position. So I'm happy to talk about that further. I just don't think that he's going to be the value.
Again, it's something that I have a very good idea that the number 5 pick will be Penei Sewell and the number 6 pick is going to be Kyle Pitts. Mm-hmm. That will be in every mock draft I do from now until the end of this draft season.
Until next year. All right. I think Lions merch, MCDC shirts, and Jared Goff, Goff's Plumbing. You'll see we've got some great shirts. He's there to lay pipe. Don't miss those. Go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com/store.
Get me one of them.
Good stuff. I'll send you one, buddy. You deserve it. And of course, CBD.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Use coupon code LIONS to get yourself 55% off on all your CBD needs. If you're looking for that buzz, legal in all 50 states, get the chill Delta 8 line and you will not regret it unless you take more than one the first time. Great gummies, delicious,
and a
fun time. All right, I think with that, Riz, we've done a whole show. It's been a big one here.
We have.
I've been told it's a big one a lot. Remember, don't forget about us on Patreon, patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast, patreon.com/DetroitLionsPodcast. You get access to the most intelligent Lions chat, as we've talked about. And if you're really interested,
last minute was not emblematic of that.
We are doing a March Madness. You've got till Sunday to get signed up for it. You got to be in the Slack chat for that. So we're doing a bracket tournament. Lots of fun. It's 25 ahead. It's a buck to get in the Slack, but it's worth it. I'm telling you, it's the most.
It is worth it. I'm going to lose. I actually have watched more college basketball in the last 2 weeks than I probably have in the last 5 years combined. Yep. I don't know what's going to happen.
The fact that we got March Madness after 2 years is just
I'm so excited stoked. About that, dude.
So get in there. Patreon.DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the show. Thank you. Or help us support the show. Thank you, everyone who does that. Also on Twitter at DET Lions Podcast, DET Lions Podcast, and at Jeff Risden, spelled right there underneath at the bottom of his little window there. At Jeff Risden, give us both a follow and some love. We're always open to talk. Also, give us a call on Skype. Detroit Lions Podcast. It's all one word if you use Skype, Detroit Lions Podcast, or go to the Lions line at 929-33-LIONS. It's 929-335-4667. Leave us a message. We'll answer your questions. We'll put you on the air. It's a lot of fun. We'd love to hear from you guys.
It is.
The more you drink, the more fun it tends to be. But always go to DetroitLionsPodcast.com. Subscribe to the podcast so we can do what, Riz?
We can come into your ears automatically.
That's right. Thank you for tuning in. We're going to see you next time on the Detroit Lions podcast. Remember, no pants, no toasters, no hot tubs, no problems, because we're your Detroit Lions and Reddit connection.
I love the spinning line. That's such a cool effect. Such a cool effect.
Final seconds winding down, and look at that. How big is that? Chris and Case out of time. Pack the bags, start the plane. This show is over.
You've had enough of that shit.